Did you and Rico ever work on songs together?
No, Rico was talking about wrote his songs with just not wanting any help, or he'd come in and show us songs, and then everybody would work on their parts, and you know they may change something every now and then, but it was mostly Rico's tunes. He was the main songwriter of the band.
How would you describe Rico as far as his personality?
He was pretty much a loner.
Really?
I mean, he didn't socialize much. He and Tootsie pretty much stayed in their room, and he played his acoustic guitar, and Tootsie had two little dogs, Buddha and Quibbin. And I did a lot of fishing myself.
Do you think Tootsie was a good influence on Rico or not?
I think that was part of his downfall.
Because of the drugs?
Basically.
Was she originally from New York?
I believe so. I didn't really know anything about Tootsie other than that she was with Rico. And she did have a New York accent, so I figured that's where she was from.
Okay. So then you go back to Los Angeles to record for RCA, correct?
Yeah. Yes, we did.
Where did you stay at for the sessions, and how long were the sessions for?
Oh, we stayed at a hotel down on Santa Monica Boulevard, and just went in the studios about 11 o'clock in the morning, and sometimes we're in the studio till 1, 2 o'clock in the next day.
And
we did that first album I played with, the Antithesis album. We did it all in a week.
7 days?
So about 7 days a week, yeah.
And that was produced by Jack Richardson, who actually discovered and produced the Guess Who, and also Jim Mason. Do you remember anything about those two?
Nice fellows that were just knew the recording business and had been in it for quite a while, and I thought they did a very good job. They had produced many other groups that included the Guess Who, but the Guess Who wasn't their only band that they did records with.
And that was at RCA on Sunset, right?
Correct.
What do you recall about the studio? Was it large or small? Or?
Well, it was a very large studio. I mean, you could probably put a whole complete symphony in there. And they had these little roll-around booths that you could use for a vocal booth, or for if you needed a separation of music, and you could have this enclosed booth that you'd go into. Most of the vocals were done there, but when we did our basic tracks, we were all separated by some distance in the same large studio, and separated by using these baffles that separated us, and we did it all direct.
And that song, Day by Day, actually came out as a single off the album, right?
Yes, Day After Day came out as a single. It was the single for Antithesis. It didn't do very well, but at least I got a single out of it.
Did you ever hear it played on a radio station?
I heard a lot of the Gypsy stuff played on a radio station at the time.
Out in Los Angeles or Minnesota or both?
Well, Los Angeles and Minnesota.
Okay.
I don't know that they got airplay that much over the rest of the U.S., but because they had ties in L.A. and ties in Minnesota, the radio stations were playing their tunes.
So now, the tour with the Guess Who across Canada, do you have any recollections of that?
Well, it was a very long tour. We went from one end of it to the Pacific to the Atlantic. We stopped in every major town, and we played a lot of arenas that were built as ice skating arenas, and the ice was still on the skating floor, and they just put plywood over the ice and set chairs on it and have big shows. But we traveled around in like a, it was as big like a 737, and it had a cargo area in the front. They'd load all the gear in that area, and then in the back of the plane, it was like a regular commercial airline. We had that all to ourselves with the guess who and Don Hunter, the manager, and then all of Gypsy.
Now, around this time, you also play some gigs at the Whiskey with B.B. King, Taj Mahal, and Rod Stewart.
Yes, we'd go back to L.A. And play some dates, and yes, we did play with B.B. and Billy Preston and Taj Mahal, and I don't remember all the ones, but I do remember that Steely Dan had their first album out, and it was at the Do It Again, Get Back Jack, Do It Again. I can't think of the name, but they had we were the opening act for them.
Do you remember going to San Francisco to open up a job for Poco?
Yes, we did that.
Probably the Fillmore West?
I believe it was the Fillmore. It was either the Fillmore, was either that or Winterland. At that time, I was just kind of looking out windows and seeing the sights and didn't really know where we'd wind up.
Did the audiences in Canada know about Gypsy? Did they appreciate the band?
I think we were just the newcomer up there, and they weren't real familiar with it. But when we got through with the tours, we had quite a lot of new fans.
Oh, let's talk about softball teams in Los Angeles for the bands and their road crews and getting to meet Chicago.
Well, I think that more or less started in with bands when they lived up in Minnesota. And because I remember when we lived there, we played the band called Crow with
yep.
the Larry and Dick Wiegand. And when we were out in L.A. doing some recordings, we also did play softball with Chicago and met the guys in the band.
And the band members and road crew all had jerseys made up with numbers on them like a regular ball team, correct?
Oh, yeah.
And that's how they got to know Chicago, besides opening up for them at the...
Well, they had... I believe Timmy had known them much longer than I had, but they were already pretty good friends with the band before I ever came on the scene.
Now, in addition to playing up in Canada with the Guess Who, the Gypsies also playing the upper five-state Midwest area, Minnesota, Iowa, North Dakota, South Dakota, Wisconsin.
Yeah, we played the five-state areas up there. I can remember playing in Fargo and Minot and Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and there was places down in Iowa we went. But, yeah, we played quite a bit while we were up there.
1973 comes along, and you have a second album to do with RCA, and I understand they fly you back to Los Angeles at the Tropicana Hotel on Santa Monica Boulevard, and you record the fourth album.
Yeah, Rico was already living there, because he kind of, whenever we had a date in Minnesota, he returned, and then as soon as that date was done, he would return back to Los Angeles. And so, yes, we stayed at the Tropicana and went back and did unlock the gates. And that was also done in a week, too. We were kind of under the pressure of getting it done quickly and cheaply. I remember hearing the words, time is money. Look at the clock.
From the producers?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I understand during these sessions at RCA, again, once again, with Jack Richardson and Jim Mason producing, that you had a visitor pretty much on a daily basis from Chicago, from the band Chicago.
Well, we had, as the album was being recorded, something was mentioned about what sure would like to have some horns on it. And Timmy got in touch with the guys in Chicago, Jim Pankow, and they came and listened and wrote charts for it and came in and did four or five songs on that album. It was quite interesting to see how they would work in the studio, and we did have Terry Kath come in and hang out while we were recording.
And this is once again done in a week, correct? Or 10 days or so?
Yeah, yeah.
And,
it was.
And two 45s come off of this album. And I suppose we should talk about the front cover of the album, because the drawings of the band members with angelic-like wings with various musical instruments. I understand the band wasn't exactly happy with the artwork.
That band cover was a joke. They didn't spend enough time, and they were just, I guess they had some kind of a font with those wings on it and put our pictures on it, and it was just, it was a, nobody liked it at all in the band.
How did the band feel about RCA being the label and as far as their promotion and distribution and so forth?
Well, that was the pretty much the end of our relationship, because they didn't really do anything. They didn't promote it. They didn't distribute it. It was, I think, probably within the next 4 or 5 years that that's when RCA was pretty much done in the recording business.
And were you back on tour with the Guess Who to promote this album or not?
We did some tours with them, yes. I remember going to the southern states of North Carolina, South Carolina, we did Florida, Virginia. But it was pretty much not being distributed at all at that time.
There was no contract with RCA once this record was completed, correct? They were done.
Yeah, they had contracted the band for two releases with an option. And after the two albums were done, we were done with RCA. And Rico was still living in L.A., and the rest of the band was living back in Minnesota. And shortly after that, we decided to go our separate ways, because we didn't want to be just a local bar band again, and that's what we turned into.
So you were playing venues such as the Home Bar in Minneapolis, right?
We played, in fact, I just had somebody posted a poster of the Depot. I think the Depot was probably my first gig at in Minneapolis. And we did the Home Bar, and we did a place called the River Serpent.
Where was that? Where was the River Serpent?
The River Serpent was, from what I remember, very close to the Mississippi River.
Really?
Yep, you might check your records on that, because we played there several times, and I don't know if it was, I picture it as built on the side of the river there between St. Paul and Minneapolis.
Did Rico's mother, Ida, come out and see the band play live when they played at in Minneapolis and St. Paul?
Ida was religiously at every show. And she had a tambourine that she'd shake, and she'd dance by herself and just have a great old time.
She was a big fan of Rico and, of course, Gypsy as well.
Most definitely, and probably had, even in, when the Underbeats were doing it, I'm sure Ida was right there too.
Okay, so the fourth album comes out. Things aren't exactly going too good. And how did you like living in Minneapolis in January and February?
Well, that's one of the reasons why I left. If I couldn't play in the band and do what we were doing, and with it being such a cold country, winter was pretty hectic for me, having to shovel the sidewalks and the driveways and all that. I wasn't cut out for that. And just didn't really like the extreme cold. So it was, when I moved there, I knew it wasn't going to be a long adventure.
And after Enrico went back to Los Angeles, where were you living? And were you living by yourself at that time?
Well, my wife and I had been, she had moved up there with me, I believe, right after Antithesis. And because we were separated, and then we got back together. But we had our own little apartment. And, well, I take that back. We shared a house at the very end of my term with Gypsy. We shared a house with Howie Bursch, who was a roadie, and his wife, George Ann. And we had a house in Wayzata, which was not too far from Lake Minnetonka.
When did you decide to exit Minnesota and return to Texas?
Gypsy played a date in Chicago. And we were down on Rush Street at a club called The Rush Up. And we were still of the mindset that we were a big band. And so we lived accordingly. And the money that we were supposed to make dwindled considerably. And during that time, my wife and Howie's wife, George Ann, had to, the house was heated by fuel oil, and it had run out. And they had called for, to get it filled, and it was like $400. And my wife had had her family send her some money because I wasn't there to pay the $400. And so when we came back from Chicago and I got my check, which should have more than covered the fuel bill, my check was like $50.
Really?
And my wife informed me that she is not staying here, that she is moving back to Texas. And I just said, hold on. Let's get some money. I went to work, I think it was Schmidt Music, as the guitar tech, because I knew how to set up instruments and work on that. And I was there for maybe 3 months or something to save up some money. And then we left the band and left the state and moved back to Texas.
That was summer of 74, roughly?
Yes.
What did you do in Texas?
Well, the whole idea of moving back was that my wife's family had a antique and jewelry business, and they needed someone to learn how to become a goldsmith that could repair and manufacture jewelry. So we moved back there, and her grandfather got us a place to live and paid the bills, and he sent me to apprentice from a master jeweler over in Dallas, and I did that for about 3 years. I worked with several different master jewelers, learning the techniques and whatnot to do, and stone setting and torch work and making molds and casting and, you know, just the whole thing of manufacturing jewelers do. And once I felt that I had learned enough knowledge that I could go work for anybody, I went back and started working for my wife's grandfather at the antique and jewelry business that did the jewelry repair, the stone setting, and whatever else needed to be done.
Had you played with Gypsy in St. Louis prior to Super Jam 77?
So you're talking about, I believe it was we opened for Tower of Power.
Before Super Jam?
That was probably in 74, and then I didn't hear from anybody at all other than just a phone call every now and then checking up on friends in Minnesota. I didn't hear anything from the guys in the band until that Super Jam 77 was talked about, and I believe it was Rico that called me and asked if I'd be interested in going back and doing some Gypsy tunes at this Super Jam. I had no idea what it was going to be like, but yeah. So I got an airplane ticket to go to L.A. and took my instruments and my amp out there. That was back when you could actually fly your instruments and they would be safe, and your amps got out there too. Of course, we had travel cases that the band and made when we were in Winnipeg. They were not like the travel cases that you'd see today. They were all built out of aluminum sheet metal.
So you went to L.A. to rehearse. Was everybody there? Jim Johnson and Stan Kipper?
Yeah.
And Barry.
Well, now Jim Walsh was not able to come at the time.
So Barry Kay was hired to play keyboards.
Yes, I don't know where he came from. I played the one gig with him in St. Louis and never heard from him again or saw him again until one day on Facebook. I believe it was Dave Mueller from St. Louis had located him, you know, and this was maybe a year or two ago. And so we've shared several posts, but other than that, I've never seen him since that day at the Super Jam.
So how many rehearsals were there with the full band lineup for Super Jam?
Two or three, maybe.
With everybody there?
Yeah.
And then the day comes around, July 9, 1977, Busch Stadium, St. Louis, Missouri, on the bill, REO Speedwagon, Ted Nugent, Head East, Gypsy, Judas Priest. Tickets, $10 in advance, $12 day of the show. What do you remember about that show, Randy?
Getting picked up by a limousine and getting taken to the stadium, and I think we were interviewed by that radio station that is such a popular radio station in St. Louis.
Casey.
I believe so, yes. And just waiting for our time to our part of the show.
Was it a good experience to be playing with Gypsy again after those years off?
Well, it was different. You know, I hadn't played with them for several years. And of course, Stan Kipper was on drums instead of Bill, and Barry Kay was on keyboards instead of Jim Walsh. But we played the same tunes that we used to, and they came off quite well. And it was mind-blowing to look out there to see 77 or however many thousand people there were, but it was just another gig.
Of course, according to what I've heard from Dave Mueller over the years, is Gypsy was very well loved in St. Louis, Missouri.
We played St. Louis a lot. We played the Cal Auditorium. Gosh, we probably played there 10 times while I was with the band, more than any other town that we'd ever played in.
Why do you think it was that St. Louis had such fondness for Gypsy?
You know, I don't really know. I just know we played there an awful lot. I think it was just overall the music that we played, because once people heard the music, it was very well accepted.
Do you have a favorite Gypsy song to this day?
Not a single favorite. I have many favorites.
What would they be?
All the tunes that the Chicago horn players played on. Of course, the song I wrote, Day After Day. Also the tune Antithesis. All the tunes in my book are great songs.
I should tell you that last Sunday night, Gypsy played at Mancini's in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Yes, I was informed that by Facebook, and I also saw some of the videos that were taken. I saw Jim and Jim Walsh there, and of course Donnie was there. I'm kept up on all the Gypsy stuff, either by the person that did the Gypsy documentary, or Dave Mueller will always send me something.
Yeah, Aaron Goodyear did the Gypsy documentary.
Yeah.
Well, let's get caught up. What's going on with you today? Where do you live, and what groups are you playing with?
Well, today I am still in the jewelry business. I have my jewelry shop, and if you've ever seen the documentary, there is a section of the extra video that's on there of they came down and interviewed me at my store and saw what I did. I took them kind of around Fort Worth and they shot some pictures. So I still have my jewelry shop, work there Tuesday through Saturday unless I'm out playing somewhere. I play in three different bands that they're different bands. One of them is I play every Sunday at a club that's been open for about 40 years now around here called the Keys Lounge. And I play with it's called the Love Shack Band. I play with two guitar players, keyboard player, and drums. Jerry Clark is one. Steve Springer is a drummer. Robbie King is another guitar player. And Sparky Mantoria is on keys. And I also work with Sparky in another band called the Royal Tribute Band. And we back up some old rock and roll tribute artists. Like, we play with a guy named Craig Parker that does Elvis. Play with another guy that does all Buddy Holly. And play with another guy that does Roy Orbison.
What's the name of that band?
The Royal Tribute Band.
That's the Royal Tribute Band. And then there's Boomtown?
Boomtown is another band that I just started playing with. I had been... Since I moved back to Texas, I was in a band called the Stratoblasters that I had been a member for 30 years. And after 30 years, I just decided that it was time for me to get out. I was getting kind of tired of it. So this other opportunity came along that with a band called Boomtown. And they play mostly private parties, large weddings, and like last night I played a big high school reunion, 50-year high school reunion, and the money is quite well, and both the Boomtown and the World Tribute Band, but really, I play for a lot less when I play on Sundays, and I'd probably enjoy it more.
And that's called Jerry's Jam on Sundays at Keys Lounge?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay.
And we play 6 to 10 every Sunday, and we have a bunch of wonderful ladies that bring in, they cook all day, and we have potluck supper.
Nice.
And it's a free entrance. You come eat for free and hear good music for free, and I see a bunch of old friends that I haven't seen for years, and we just have a very good time.
So looking back at your time in Gypsy, if you had to kind of summarize it up in a sentence or two, how would you do that?
Well, I would say that it was a great experience in my life in my younger years. I did some of my best work playing on songs and recorded some of the best songs that have been written. That did not make it to where we had hoped them to go. But it was a very fun time of my life, and I always look back on the very good memories with the band.
Good enough. Randy Cates, thank you for taking the time to talk with us today about your time in Gypsy.
Well, I appreciate you calling and letting me be interviewed, and at some point in time, I'll be going back up to see some of the guys and band. I especially want to go see Jim Johnson. He's not in the best of health, but and Stan and Chico with their band that they have. I'll be up there at some point in the near future.
That sounds good. We'd love to meet up with you again, Randy. Thanks for taking the time to talk with us, and take care, my friend.
Thank you very much, Tom. Enjoyed the interview.
Okay, bye now.
All right, bye.